Welcome to the MMA Roadshow, episode number 447. My name is John Morgan, and Cole Coffee is with me here on this outstanding, beautiful, gorgeous October day in Las Vegas, where we're just enjoying a little sunshine, enjoying a little fresh air,
and
enjoying a little frosty beverages, a little bit of, oh yeah, award-winning Pabst Blue Ribbon. We're doing a little day drinking today. We don't do this very often. I'll be honest with you, even though this was a podcast that was very much born in the ways of lots and lots of frosty beverages and just hanging around and talking some MMA while we were doing exactly this, in recent times, you especially have
gotten old.
We have been doing this a long time. I mean, you're talking about adding about a decade to the age. And, yeah, not as much frosty beverage consumption during tapings. But today, you know, the UFC is out on the road. And
we've kind of
snapped the streak of Dana White's Contender Series and all the home events and the two-a-days. And it just seems like
It was a good run.
No complaints. It just feels like a relaxed pace this week, right? It just feels like a little, hey, man, let's kick back on this afternoon. Yes. Let's have a little frosty beverage.
Let's have some beverage. Got the door open.
Oh, man.
If the breeze kicked up a little bit, it would be a little bit nicer, but it's nice. It's like 90-some degrees. We're saying goodbye, summer. Hello, fall.
Hello.
You know. Why not? It has been a while.
It has been a while.
But truthfully, yeah. I mean, I've been trying to, you know, started this like health journey and wanted to try to get in better shape, and part of that was to drink a little bit less, you know, and just half these times we've taped some of these, it's just like, you know, it's like middle of the day or whatever. Like, you know, I'm just not ready to do the day drinking things because you got work to do afterwards or whatever.
Well, most of the days we're rushing over here
right after a media day.
And normally, like, I'm trying to get it done so I can go to my kid's soccer practice. And it's not really the kind of hanging out. I just got sent the other day a picture of Inside of Boomers. It was French Jerome. Remember old French Jerome that was actually from Belgium? He sent a picture from Boomers.
Google Photos every once in a while pops up. I don't know if you have it in your phone, but like, you know, it's probably how
more
Google just pays attention to your whole life. Like when you have photos, so like I've uploaded photos to it, and it's tied to my phone, so it will remind me from time to time. It sends me a message like, "Hey, do you remember this?"
Right.
So yeah, every once in a while, Boomers will pop
that's
up,
funny.
You know, and some other great memories. But dude, that's awesome.
He sent a picture of it, and he was like, "Hey man, remember this?"
The three
this
of us at the table.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so I was like, "Oh, that's funny." And I was like, "Man, I love that place. It's gone now." And he had this. It was just a little message. I'm like, "Man, what a nice little." He said, "Times change, memories stay." And I was like,
aww.
"Look at that." That is wise. Yes, it is, man. I'm bummed that place went, but, man, we had a lot of good times in there.
Oh, that was great. I mean, yeah, we'd come in there, and they'd just shut the music down a little bit so we could tape. We'd just pull a table over off to the side, just get, whatever, pitchers or whatever. And, boy, I love that place, too, because their machines paid, so that was good. But, yeah, and it was, like, right around the corner. Now that area is changed so much because that's right down the street from where Area 15 is now.
Right.
And that's also in the area where what we believe is going to be that Universal new establishment, like whether it be like a adult themed or
it's like a horror themed.
Like a horror themed or something like
that. Let me make that clear. Horror.
H-O-R-R-O-R.
Yes. I mean,
around a different street is
Las
the horror themed.
Yeah, you can have a horror themed park
fact,
would do very
look,
well.
If you look just over the 15 from where it's at, there's you see the other strip clubs. So that is the horror themed. No, they're just quality working ladies. They're
too
not
good,
whores. They're
too
not,
good.
They're not whores. But.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's very, very nice. I'm glad he reached out and stuff. So that's very cool.
It's always nice to hear from you guys that have hung out with us over the years. So yeah, it's a little bit different feel today. We're kicking it. We're hanging out. I will say, you know, seeing all the interviews come in for Media Day and seeing all, you know, it's funny because like
you miss your table? Do you miss your booth?
It's a thing. Here's the thing is that it's and on Saturday it'll be the exact same way. Like on Saturday, I'll wish that I was there. You know what I mean? When the fights are unfolding, I'll be like, "Dang it, I should have gone over there, right?" And like Media Day, yeah, because I love doing the interviews. Like I love talking to the guys and hearing what everybody's thinking and documenting their journey and all that. And so when those videos and stuff are coming back, I miss it a lot. But I will say this, you know, when the fights are over on Saturday and I can just shut my laptop down and walk on the couch and go hang out with my kid. You know what I mean?
That's early.
Yeah.
It's like, what, 7, say, 10 a.m. Eastern?
I think the main – yeah, the prelims are at 7 a.m. Pacific, 10 a.m. Eastern, and I think the main card starts at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 here.
That's so awesome.
So, yeah, the fights will be done by 2, and
so
I still have the
– awesome. I love, like, stuff like that. Like, granted, it's first thing in the morning, but, you know, obviously we'll be working and doing, like, remote sort of stuff, so it's not like I'm going to day drink, but you could clearly get plenty of day drinking after it's done.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I love the morning fights like that.
I do, too.
Especially from the couch is so good.
And then to not have, like, a 24-hour journey home or whatever the case may be, it's funny. It's that, you know, I don't know. It's the double-edged sword. On the one hand, I wish I was there. On the other hand, I'm so glad that I'm home and I'm able to kick it with my family
a little
and all that.
FOMO.
So. That's it.
Balanced with, I was going to say homo, but that's like
– definitely not balancing with that, but I see what you said. Happy to have missed out or happy of missing out.
Yeah. That's it.
Happy of missing out.
Happy of missing. Yeah. FOMO versus home.
Oh, man. Too funny. All right. Listen, we will talk about UFC 294, of course. And by the way, I will have plenty of travel coming up. I hope you guys have seen the CFSC match day announcements that have gone out. You know, we've been hinting about it and talking about it forever, but it's all official now. It's all out there. We announced all the dates this past week on the CFSC broadcast, but we have, I believe, 9 total wrestling dates coming up, NCAA wrestling meets coming up, starting November 1st at Fort Liberty in North Carolina. And then the 2 days later, November 3rd, we'll have CFFC 127 in Tunica, Mississippi. And then 2 days after that, November 5th, we'll do another wrestling meet with Iowa State and Cleveland State in Ohio as well. So it's going to be – there's going to be some journeying going on.
Yeah.
There's going to be traveling. It might not be making the way all the way over there to Abu Dhabi, but there's plenty of traveling, plenty of exciting stuff coming up. There's actually going to be – I saw this today. I'm going to go ahead and share it with everybody here. I think I'm allowed to say this. For whatever reason – if I'm not, sorry, guys, don't get mad at me. For whatever reason, if you don't have Fight Pass for any reason, I'm just going to share this with you now. There's going to be a promo code that's going to be in place, and the code is DUAL, D-U-A-L, like a wrestling duel. And if you sign up between October 22nd and October 31st, you can get 3 months for the price of one. So, obviously,
whoa,
that's designed to help work with maybe people that, you know, are college wrestling fans that maybe are a little bit hesitant to sign up for UFC Fight Pass because they're like, I don't know, this is kind of new. But it's like, look, they're giving you 3 months for the price of one, so that'll cover the whole season for 1 month's price, so why wouldn't you do it? But if you just happen to be a fight fan, maybe you've let your Fight Pass subscription go, maybe you've never had it or whatever, I'm just going to give you that right now. So it's DUAL, it's D-U-A-L, it's between October 22nd and October 31st, that code will be good, and you get 3 months for the price of one. So I'll just throw
like
it out
it.
There. So yeah, lots of stuff coming up with wrestling, so we'll be talking about a lot
is
of that.
Is Flow Wrestling still a thing? They
still
streaming.
Oh yeah, Flow's a very big outlet as well.
I didn't know if
this
was like their way to try to steal some thunder, but they cover a lot more.
They cover a lot. Yeah, they have a lot. I mean, this is certainly the start of something, and I think it's got the possibility to grow into more. And we'll see how that all plays out. But I'm looking forward to it. Like I said, we got 9 dates. I'll be on the mic for some of them, not for all of them. We've got some very, very talented folks that are going to be a part of this, which is actually pretty cool. The very first one, in fact, Shane Sparks, who's actually an ESPN analyst and a Big Ten analyst, he'll actually be doing part of the call. And then David Taylor, who, if you know anything about the wrestling, and David Taylor, he was a 2-time national champion. He was an Olympic gold medalist. I believe a 3-time world champion as well. So, I mean, David Taylor is straight-up wrestling royalty, and he's actually working to get back to the Olympics, but he's going to work on some of the shows with us. Can't do all of them as well just due to his busy schedule. He's in demand, but he'll be doing some of them. Rob Eider, who was with us last year, former U.S. Olympian, he'll be with us as well. So pretty exciting, man. It's pretty cool stuff. We're bringing
a full slate of
NCAA wrestling, so pay attention to that. We'll be doing some interviews and, you know, all kinds of stuff getting ready for
Sounds
that.
Sounds like they might need some more video crew.
I mean, you never
I'm
know.
I'm just saying.
Need some people. Might need some people. I think.
Just tell them you know a guy. You know a guy.
It's funny because when you're a reporter, you know exactly what you're allowed to say and what you're not allowed to say because whatever you find out, you can say.
Right.
When you're working for it, sometimes you hear stuff you can't remember if you're supposed to say or not, but we may be in this general vicinity with an event at some point.
That's funny.
Yeah, so maybe they'll need somebody as we are maybe in this general vicinity at some point. I mean, because, you know, there's so much around this sprawling area. I don't necessarily mean Las Vegas in particular.
Yeah, it could be other parts of the desert that are inhabited around here.
That Burning Man wrestling meet that's coming up. Yeah. You never know.
Don't let it rain out there.
Ooh, I shouldn't have gone there. Yeah. All right, listen, we will get to UFC 294. But it's been a crazy week. Like I said, last week we didn't get a chance to tape together because our schedules didn't match up. I was actually in Florida already. I went to go visit American Top Team and Killcliff. Ironically, I was at Killcliff probably a couple hours after Gilbert Burns taped that now infamous video of Kamaru Usman before he stepped into the matchup to face Khamzat Chimaev. So I guess we missed all the activity there by just a couple hours. It would have been funny if we had dropped in at that time.
Yeah, right.
But I was there, and then I had some evening plans as well. So we weren't able to get together because you were doing media day. Yes.
I was like, if you open up his planner things, it said drinking.
We were in South Beach, and it was nighttime, and there were cocktails and maybe a cigar or two. But that's what you do when you're in South Beach, right? So the schedules didn't match up a little bit. But I was it was unfortunate because that was the exact moment we found out that USADA was no longer – going to be working with the UFC, which came, I felt, pretty much as a bombshell to everybody involved. And then the following day, we got a chance to see the press conference, of course, with Hunter Campbell and with Jeff Nowitzki. And I was able to see that from Tampa. I was actually able to get a couple questions in as well, but that was via phone. You were actually there shooting it live. Mm-hmm. But I was saying in the NF episode that I was looking forward to hearing your take on everything because I, without tipping my hand too much, and I know that everybody that supports us over at patreon.com/the MMA Roadshow has heard a little bit of my support or my angle on it, and that is a fairly optimistic attitude about what's about to unfold. But
sure,
I also feel that that's generally just my nature as a person. I'm kind of a generally optimistic, you know, upside kind of person. Maybe with a hint of passive aggressiveness here every now and then.
Until Pam shows up. Then that all goes out the window.
Yeah, but John is a generally optimistic guy that likes to see the positive side of things. When Pam rolls in town, I mean, things change.
Get out the way. Get out the way.
But you, on the other hand, and I wouldn't say that you're a pessimistic type person, but I believe that when it comes to the establishment, and when it comes to quote unquote the man. I feel like sometimes you are a little bit...
The man.
Yeah, I don't know that you necessarily trust, quote-unquote, the man from time to time.
Yeah.
And so I was really curious to get your take because, obviously, you know, all we got was this USADA announcement at first, and everybody was like, whoa, what the hell is going on here, right? And then we saw the quotes from Dana, who did, I believe, the Pat McAfee show the next day.
Which didn't really help anything.
We didn't really know what was going on. It didn't really inform.
Typical Dana.
And then you got in with Hunter and Jeff, who I will say this, and I want to hear what you have to say about your take on everything. But I will say this: whether or not you believe their intent is good, or whether or not you believe their decision making is good here and what they unfolded, I will give them credit for sitting there for an hour and a half, man.
100%.
They did a full presentation and then opened it up to the media that was there, opened it up to the media on the phone, and did not leave until every last question was answered. You know what I mean? There were literally nobody else has any questions here. Nobody else has any questions on the phone. Okay, then I guess we're
wrapped. And the UFC actually provided it the next day, which is really good too. So that was another step where it wasn't just like, oh, hey, you know, let this, you know, disseminate between – you know, all the outlets there, because they, I was going to, you know, and I'll open behind the curtain. I was streaming to our team privately. Then of course our powers that be can't just leave shit alone and want to try to take the stream public. So they took it public. And then immediately at that point, you know, PR comes over. And he's like, dude, are you streaming? I was like, yeah. I was like, the team just fired it up. And he's like, this was a thank you for you guys, because you guys come here for everything. So you want to make sure you guys get this information. We're going to give this out to them tomorrow. So, and I was just like, dude, I understand. I was like, I get it. I was like, I didn't want to fucking stream it anyways. I was just trying to do it because they were like, it'd be really cool if we can see what's going on. So I took the stream down. But I thought it was still good that they gave that stuff out like the next day. Because part of it, too, like, I don't want people stealing my fucking stream.
Yep.
Like, I want to put my video out, and then you link to my video, do whatever.
everybody steals my shit all the fucking time. And it's not my job to give all the other outlets content because I am there.
And if you've noticed, the Dana White, if you've paid close attention as a fan, you've seen the Dana White scrums don't stream anymore.
Right.
Even
for
though,
the most part.
For the most part.
They slip through.
Sometimes it does, but for the most part. And that was the decision, as you said, that Dana decided, hey, man, all you guys are here. You guys deserve this. You know, you guys deserve this content first, and then, you know, everybody else can get it later. And so that's why they stopped streaming it.
Yeah. And so, I mean, it was just, you know, it's funny because, you know, like, it was one thing. There was a point, you know, now I'm just running off into a tangent. There was a point where, like, say if you're at, like, court appearances and things like that, sometimes they'll use a pool camera. And that'll go out to the major organizations, but usually you have to sign up for it. You have to try to go to it, show that you're there, and then they're like, okay, well, we can only let one of you in there, but since you're here, we're going to give you the pool feed.
Right.
A lot of these other people think that even though we're there, that we're obligated to give them a stream. We're like, I'm not obligated to give you shit because, one, you're going to take it and put it on your site. You don't fucking thank me. You don't credit me. All you'll do is fucking yell at me if something goes wrong.
Right.
I'm like, I'm sorry providing you a free stream and something goes wrong and then you want to bash me about it or whatever. So part
That's
of me,
fun.
I had never any plans to like stream it anyways. I was just going to take it, put the video out, edit it, make sure it's colored correctly, and then I put it out there. So usually half the time when I stream stuff, it's so my writers can follow along with what's going on. But in this instance, they wanted to try to public, and I was like, guys, I don't want to do that anyways. And I was like, when I tried to tell them what the deal was, at first they were like, I just don't understand. The video's going to be out in a little bit. I'm like, you guys don't get – like, the same time they always bitch about when people steal our stuff, here you are asking for us to put it out so people can steal our stuff.
Right.
I'm like, guys, stop fighting me on this or whatever. But I'm glad
that allows you to get all those clips out. It is actually an interesting study, right? Because it's actually easier to sit in your house and not go to the event and steal the live streams and just clip them off and get your content up faster than it is for somebody to actually be at the event, tape the event, edit the clips,
participate in it. Yeah,
it's a really weird thing. It's a sad thing to see, but there's so much media that doesn't even bother to ask questions because all they're caring about is just getting the clips up. You know what I mean? So they're not really participating in
100%.
Anything because they're just getting the clips up. And again, when they stream stuff out, you can just sit at home and you can just clip it off. And I can have it on my social media account more than you.
Beat
that paid
to
travel, that is the one that's actually doing the work. You
100%.
Know what I mean? So it's a double-edged sword. Like, we want to live stream all this stuff so people can follow along, but then it ends up biting you in the ass because people are using your footage before you're even using your footage.
And no credit, no thank you, no whatever. And it's just like, oh, well, we found it on the web, so it's cool. It's fair game. I'm like, it's not actually fair game.
Yeah.
But whatever. But to jump into, I guess just to start talking about what I thought about. One, I thought it was great that they got ahead of the ball. Said they were going to have this meeting, you know, had this call. At first, I thought it was only going to be like sort of an invite only, which it kind of was. But then I saw that they sent out a press notice that day, earlier in the day. So for other Vegas, maybe media, maybe they didn't send it to the bulk list, but maybe just people in the Vegas area. But I had received a text in the morning saying, hey, you know, there's this thing that's going to go on. Would you like to attend? I said, Of course. I thought it was great that they got out of it because just like what sort of happened when I did my initial gut reaction was like, okay, here's UFC making a decision with no clear statement as for why they were doing it, you know. It was good to hear their point. You know, one, I think that was the most I've ever seen Hunter like actually talk
100%
in one particular sitting.
Yep.
And same with Jeff too. Like when we've done these things with Dana before, when there was the Jones incident and when there were some of the other ones, he's not afraid to verbalize stuff, but I think the most I've ever seen him in one sitting was maybe 20 minutes, 30 minutes, maybe tops or whatever.
Yep.
And you could see he was clearly agitated and was upset by what was going on.
Fired up.
He had the presence of mind to write what he wanted to say down, because I think you could tell that his emotions, he might get caught off onto a tangent starting to talk about things. So you could see how he was reading through some things. In my head, I was thinking like, good for you. I could tell he's like sort of shaking up there. And it's not like he's afraid to speak in front of people. It was just purely, you could see that he was upset by the emotions.
It was emotion.
By what was going on. And I didn't really realize, you know, because there was a couple points there where Hunter, you know, he was expressing, you know, things like, we just didn't want to lose Jeff, you know. So I don't know if people thought that Jeff was going away, or maybe even Jeff thought that there was the possibility of this was going to go away, and that if USADA went away, that his position would go
away. Well, I think
away.
What they were saying is, if Jeff were to head up the task, this new thing, that he would leave his current position.
Right.
You know what I mean? He doesn't want him to leave that position of being kind of this – intermediary between the organization and the fighters.
Okay, well that makes more sense. Yep. You know, when you hear them talk about it on the record, you know, of like the things that are going to come, it definitely sounds like positives. You know, when they bring up the technological fails, and we had heard from fighters from time to time saying the whereabouts app or whatever they were using to try to, you know, put their, you know, where they were was buggy, didn't often work. It was a manual process. It wasn't something that was automatically sort of doing it on its own. You know, when you hear Jeff and them talk about this new these other technologies, about how it'll sort of just track on its own. You don't really have to interact with it. It's like GPS on your phone. It's tracking when it comes to the blood. They're not just doing the intravenous pokes that they have to do on some of the other ones. It's these different patches and things that kind of go in there and are able to do more when they just sit on your skin and they're able to get better readings and they're able to show other things outside of, you know, maybe the blood draw would take longer to get those. It was getting a quicker response. So,
and people are scared of needles, which is true. I'll be honest. When I have to get my blood, I always look the other way, man. Yeah. I'm not scared.
Yeah.
But I don't look right at it. I'm like, I'll just look over here. You just let me know when you're done. You know?
I'm telling you, it's never been my favorite. And that's probably because, I think when I was in high school, I was donating blood because we could get out of this big senior project if we donated blood. And I didn't eat that day, or I didn't really eat. And so after I gave blood, I was woozy, thought I was going to pass out. So for the rest of my life, I never really gave blood. You know, I only gave blood when I had to do blood work for testing or whatever.
That's funny.
But I realized that. Yeah, I gave some blood the other day for just routine testing, and the phlebotomist or whoever, I think that's the term for the person who does the blood, was having a hard time getting in there. I'm like, I don't want to look to be like, what are you doing wrong? When I'm just thinking you're really just moving around a long time. This is not helping the situation. So, yeah, I think any technology that sort of gets better than that is a step in the right direction. So
I like the one too. Let me just say briefly on technology. I love the one that makes all the sense in the world where they talked about the geofencing, so that everybody's got their phone on them. So let's say because so people know how the location thing works. It's not like you have to tell them street address exactly where you are, but you have to say, look, you know, on this day at this time, and I think it's 2 day parts, I'll be in Las Vegas. And then if for whatever reason, let's say you went to LA because you were cornering a friend, or you went to LA because there was a seminar or something, and you forgot to update it, and they show up in your gym, you basically have 2 hours. Well, you know you're not getting from LA to Vegas in 2 hours, so you just had a whereabouts issue. But what they were saying is that they've been in talks with USADA about this, and what they aim to do is that, let's say you touch down in an airplane in LA, and your phone through the app knows obviously where you are in LA. Right. It's like, hey, and it'll give you an update instantly. You know you're supposed to be in Las Vegas right now. Do you want to update your whereabouts? Yeah, I do want to update my whereabouts. Yep. Boom. I mean, that's brilliant, right? We see it all the time with other programs 100%. And stuff. I mean, our clock automatically changes. Yep. There's other apps that you know, whatever. So why shouldn't they use that to their advantage? So I thought it's a small thing, but it's a thing that will make the experience better for the fighters.
Yeah, 100%. So it was, it was good to see them come out, you know, and one of the biggest points, I think, the big talking part that Travis Tigert mm-hmm. Was saying was that he made it seem that Conor was trying to skip out of the 6 month and that the UFC wasn't trying to honor it. So I thought it was really good that Hunter came out and plainly and said, never did we ever say anything to the otherwise. And I think that was the biggest part where I think most people were like, oh, okay.
Yeah. It's interesting. So, first of all, that press release they sent out, that USADA sent out before this press conference, it was designed to confuse people, and it did. There's no question. I've had people, you know, just normal people out in society that I run into that aren't the hugest fight fans. I get my kids' jiu-jitsu practice. They're kind of watch the fight game, but not really. And last night, I had some parents ask me, they're like, so the UFC is not testing anybody anymore? I'm like, no, it's not exactly what's happening. Though USADA did exactly what they wanted to do. Yeah. But the Conor thing is funny because we had conversations about this through this whole time, right? And I stood firm in my stance. I'm like, listen, they're going to make Conor do 6 months. I know for a fact they're going to make Conor do 6 months. And I shouldn't say I know that for a fact because I never confirmed that with anybody on record. But I just knew the entire
– you believed the man when the man said that.
No, I just knew that the entire – the sanctity of the program, just the trust in the program. I think the minute you say, nah, Conor doesn't have to, everybody's going to go, this program is stupid. So
but
on
even then
alone,
we were thinking – but then were you thinking, though – were you looking squarely on USADA, though? I think most people at that point, when they're thinking, like, that six-month USADA, they're going to be a joke if they don't do it. Because the UFC has never claimly really came out and said, Dana never clearly said, without a doubt, I'm not going to let Conor fight right. unless he does 6 months. And you never heard the UFC say that.
And they should have. Yeah, and
they
should
have. That's why people were, I think, looking at USADA, and they were holding USADA accountable to be the ones that had to be the bad guy and say 6 months. And so that's why I, and I think many others, when they said that the USADA relationship was ending, were like, well, they were the only ones that were really trying to stick to this six-month right. thing. And I think that's why people were questioning it. And that's why to hear Hunter come out and say officially as a line from the company, we had no plans and we will not let Conor fight unless he does 6 months. Then we're like, there it is.
That's all you wanted to hear.
That's it all we wanted to hear.
See, it is a weird thing, right? Because you're 100% right. I wish they had just been clear about that from the beginning, right? And I think it's twofold. Number one, they try not to talk about the drug testing stuff because it does involve like medical procedures and health records and all that. So they try not to talk about it more than they have to, right? And I get that, right? And then there's the other thing of Dana, who just literally does not care what anybody says about him. And he literally does not. I mean, everything's been said about him. He doesn't care. He's going to operate the way he wants to operate. He's going to live the way he wants to live. And he's got the thickest skin of any human being you'll ever meet. The problem is, sometimes I think there's times that it's not that you need to care what they say about you, it's that you need to care what they say about your company. You right. know what I mean? 100%. And so, like, I wish sometimes, as great as it is that as a human he doesn't give a shit what you think about him, understand that, man, you could say something here that would help us. So I think that's sometimes a failure or a disconnect in Dana, as great as he is as a leader and as much as he's done for the company, that it's like, yeah, but you could have cleared this up if you would have just said
100%.
That. And if I told him that to his face, which I would be happy to tell him that to his face, he would look back at me and be like, I don't care. You know what right. I mean? Like, I don't care. What are they going to say about me? Right. I'm like, yeah, I get it.
But that doesn't give you any confidence that the organization is going to stick to their word if the president's not willing to say
it. I had it just because I have more contact with, like, Jeff Nowitzki and Hunter Campbell and Donna Marcolini, and I know all those people and what they care and what they stand for.
Sure.
And I know
but it's
that,
not like they can trump Dana if Dana says make it happen.
True, they can argue with him.
They can argue with him.
Especially Hunter.
They can argue
especially with him. Hunter and Jeff, I mean, to a degree.
But I certainly – it felt like more with this coming out now, with them officially saying it, they would lose a lot more face if Dana made them do a about face.
Sure.
So I think by putting it out there, they kind of hold Dana's feet to the fire. Like, you have to let it.
Yeah.
We went on record and say we're not going to do this. And ultimately – they need to make sure, because Conor, he shouldn't rush back in this thing. I'm like, don't give anybody any reason to doubt the
legitimacy.
Legitimacy.
Yeah.
Exactly. Like, you know, like,
well,
let him just finish your last cycle, just have some fun, party, and just, like, get whatever, you know,
so,
but, like, don't rush back.
And I agree. And that's why I said from the beginning, I think he will have to do 6 months. And he needs to do 6 months. And I said
he needs
it.
To do 6 months.
And I said the same thing. He needs to do 6 months. If he didn't do 6 months.
He's got to detox for 6 months. Bro needs to detox.
If he didn't do 6 months, I would be the first one in line saying this program is bullshit.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't have rules. And so I'm happy to see that he's doing 6 months. But here's what was interesting, is that in that press release from USADA, they were like, well, you know, basically what they referenced was the fact that Conor, the whole time was like, you know, I'm just doing two tests and I'll hop back in and I'll fight in December, right? And USADA was taking Conor, like, at his word.
Right.
It's like, he's not the one that makes the decisions. And
well,
he has some say-so.
He has some say-so.
He can make suggestions that are often looked upon. But no, he's not the one that ultimately makes that decision. And then I even thought the fact that, you know, they referenced Joe Rogan. And then
that was pretty silly.
You know what I mean? And then a UFC announcer who, by the way, is just not even an employee of the company, much less a representative of it, is just, you know, a contractor who calls fights. Now, granted, I know Joe Rogan's space in the MMA world is more than just a contractor who calls
100%.
Fights. But at the end of the day, when it comes to making decisions for the UFC, he doesn't do that, especially as it comes to drama. So
it's like, has he ever watched his show? He's usually smoking weed
right?
and just talking
exactly.
out of his ass. Like, bro,
so,
do you ever watch his show?
That's what to me was just almost embarrassing for USADA. It's like, if Hunter and Jeff have told you behind the scenes that we're going to make Conor McGregor do 6 months,
right.
and you're pissed off that Conor's in the media saying that he's not, and that Joe Rogan is over here saying that you shouldn't be around anymore, why the fuck do you care about what they have to say? Like, pardon my language there, but bro, that should be zero of your concern. Yeah. And so I thought that was a little bit embarrassing for USADA. And I don't mean to pick on USADA, man. I'm not trying to just be – but
well, you're picking on him. I mean, yeah. like that guy – I mean, he should have been reprimanded for what he was doing. It was a bad look on them. It made them look absolutely ridiculous. Because, yes, if they've said these sort of things and you're going out there lying, one, you're setting yourself up for lawsuit or something, which I'm not even sure if the whole legal side of things is even done at this point.
You heard Hunter say it, right? Be awfully careful about what you're saying.
People forgot that Hunter was a lawyer. Like, Hunter was like the lawyer for the USC.
He was the lawyer for the USC. His dad was one of the most powerful attorneys in Las Vegas.
I mean, it's pretty intense. So, I mean, like, when the guy says something, I mean, like, again, that was the most I'd ever really heard him. When you saw him starting to get fired up, I was like, oh, shit. And when you read his letter back, I was like, now this looks like some legalese shit going back in their way.
Not,
I was like,
that's not like a dude that just passed the bar that maybe is throwing something out. Like, hey,
100%. Now, to get to where I think you were expecting me to say about this whole USADA things and this sort of thing, while I do think the technology is great, I do have some reservations.
Right.
And the biggest reservation is while George Pierre, and I have no qualms or like problems with his great work that he did interrogating guys and his work with the FBI and protecting this country's security and all that other sort of stuff, when it comes to this, and while he's going to be independent, who's paying for him?
UFC.
It's not like this is a company that the UFC is taking seed money and putting money aside and trying to make a for-profit business that's going to go off to the side. It's purely administering this program for the UFC. So when it comes down to the end of the day, yes, while they're saying he is independent and while he's got great morals and how he's not going to do whatever, at the end of the day, he is still an employee of the company.
Right.
Take that as you will. Anybody that is an employee of the company, you still have to answer. You're answering to the board. You're answering the WME. You're answering all these other things that if you are clearly independent, you would never have to do those particular things.
Good point.
So while he is independent in the sense of they're saying, hey, you don't have anybody else above you. You make the decisions of how we're going to use Eichner and how we're going to use Drug Free Sport
International.
This is going to be, so they're switching to these different testing, you know, company that's using whatever, and they're switching to use Eichner, who works with the commissions and helps. He's like their technology and their research guy and the other shit. Eichner has had some stuff, your favorite guy, Mike Russell, pointed out in some of the other stuff where people put, tied him to not necessarily kickbacks, but in a sense being tied to organizations that were being used by commissions or something along those lines. So a lot of people are questioning whether Eichner, if he's really separate from these technologies that he's actually pushing for commissions to use, is he actually like paid by these technologies? Like this arm technology that's taking the blood, that's really cool technology. Did they pay you to like put it in front of you and then you sort of agree it and now these other places are using it? Did you ever receive income for doing that sort of thing?
Are you getting a commission or
anything like that? So I think there's some, while I think the technology, just taking the technology alone is great and it sounds better than what USADA, did he just find this technology in his research of the products out there, or was this, hey, let's have a meeting, let's go to dinner, let's have some drinks and I want to show you this technology, and then all of a sudden you adapt it and adopt it. Now it's getting pushed out and I'm making money and you're going to make a little money off of it. Doesn't ruin the technology. It just kind of ruins the sort of like part where you think
this is all independent.
This is all independent and that you're bringing us just the best stuff out there.
All
that
we did was just go out there and evaluate what was the best things, and that's what we did.
So, I mean, but from what I've seen and interacted with the commission, hearing them talk about Eichner, I've been on so many, I mean, I don't know how many calls we've been
commission
there.
Commission meetings
where
and
he's
calls.
Popped up onto the calls and he's talking stuff. He knows his stuff. I mean, I don't doubt that when it comes to
his stuff.
Like the legitimacy of like the testing results and other stuff. I don't think the guy is doing anything that needs to be worried about, you know, in terms of like when it comes down the line and somebody says, why did we go with this technology company as opposed to a, say if there was a no bidding process, say if they're adopting things that were in a normal sitting, say like in a government setting, there would have to be bidding contracts. In this particular setting where it's a private thing, none of that stuff exists. So he can just pick whoever the heck he wants and it doesn't really matter. But that being said, when I go back to why I tie into, you know, how independent is somebody if they're actually an employee of the company? That's my only question, is my only worry. But taking – I like Nowitzki. I like Hunter. I take them on their word, just like I have no reason to not take George Pirro because he's not going to go in there and do the job to the best of his ability. My only reservation is in the fact that it's not truly an independent entity because it's actually an entity that's ran by the company that you're actually – monitoring and administering these things against
it's
the
just
athletes.
It's just fair. And again, as you said, there is no reason to call into question Pirro's character. Yeah. Obviously,
I have no reason to doubt him, but you have to just say that, hey, there's that. The being independent is not a fully independent entity.
For instance, Jeff Nowitzki. I know a lot of people like to talk trash about Jeff Nowitzki. Yeah. I can tell you after years and years and years of interaction, that dude is the straightest up dude, most committed to being professional. That dude is as straight as it comes, and I'm sure that George is the same. But
what was his nickname? The Golden Snitch?
The Golden Snitch, yes. A lot of people call him the Golden Snitch. And, funny. It is funny.
It's hilarious. But, I forgot about that, but that was back in the day.
It is, but I'm telling you, the dude is on the up and up, man. And his commitment to professionalism and to doing the stuff right is admirable, and I'm sure George will be the same. But even with George, so you laid out exactly why the fact that it's not completely independent means exactly that. It's not completely independent.
Yeah.
Then you go to the fact that, and this is this double-edged sword too, it's kind of weird, George Pirro is a Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu black belt. That's pretty awesome because at least he understands the sport, he understands the athletes, he 100%. Can relate. But then we also find out that, you know, he trains at American Top Team at the big – and not just like an affiliate. Like, he trains at the headquarters down in Coconut Creek. And, like, I think his old – like, his Instagram now is George_BJJ, but it used to be George_ATT.
Yeah.
It's like – now, again, Dan Lambert, those coaches down there, all those guys, like, they are – I mean, they're professionals. They're committed. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I trust all of them, man. I really do. But – you know what I mean? Like –
I don't know if conflict of interest is the right word, but it's a conflict of interest.
Does it mean, now, a conflict of interest doesn't mean there's going to be a problem.
Right.
You know what I mean? You can have conflicts of interest and you manage them just fine. You know what I mean? But it is – and I don't know how you fix this. Like, I honestly believe after that press conference and knowing all parties involved, the UFC is 100% committed to doing this on the straight and narrow, on the up and up, and doing it the right way.
Yeah.
But – there's always just going to be these little gray areas that you can't say they're not there. And
it's
almost
like then he needs to have another – well, it would still like – even if he was like, all right, I need to be able to pull myself out of certain situations when potential problems arise. Kind of like when you have – there's all this stuff that's going on with like the Supreme Court now when they might be ruling on a company that might be one of their donors. They're supposed to be able to pull themselves out. I forget what the word is. Where they pull themselves out, where they don't vote on it or whatever.
Abstain. Yep.
So even if Pirro's like, okay, there's potential problems with athletes that may be trained at the same gym that I was at the same time, does he have to bring in another person that he can then be like, I'm going to pull myself out of this, I'm going to abstain in this, and so-and-so is going to be the ruling party on this. They're still going to report to me, but they will be they're going to be asking. I mean, there's always going to be potential because the guy is close into the area. He's like you said, I didn't even realize that he trained there. Like, that's a bigger – that's a, like, huge, huge potential conflict of interest when it comes to, like, a whole huge pool of athletes at one of the biggest – gyms in the sport. That being said, I have no reason to doubt the guy's credentials, and I have no reason to doubt that he'll be honest and that he'll do the job to the best of his ability. I don't think the UFC is out there trying to fool anybody and like try to pull one over and try to sneak dirty athletes into the cage. At that point, you could just say, fuck it. Everybody just be dirty and go in and fight. And guys, hey, FYI, you're never going to get a goal because everybody's going to be juiced and you're fine to juice, but just realize, you know, people are going to consider you that you're dirty or whatever. I mean, like, and nobody would care about the sport, but I mean, I'm just being silly, but I'm like, I don't think the UFC is going to try to use this as a means to start allowing dirty athletes to go whatever.
I agree.
I think it's a matter of, it was already a clunky sort of situation. It's just weird how the timing came out at the same time that this guy freaks out because they know that they're losing the contract, you know, and that certainly seemed as like what it seemed more to me is that Tiger was absolutely beside himself because they were losing roughly what could it be 30-some% of their budget.
Did you see the quote that he gave to Steven Morocco? On record, he told Stephen Morocco at MMA Fighting. I read the article over there. Of course, you would have never seen it, man. You probably didn't even know that's a website.
the name sounds familiar.
There's a website out there that also covers the sport of mixed martial arts. It's called MMAfighting.com. I know you've probably never seen it, but just so you know, it is one that's out there.
Isn't that where that young guy works? The young Jose Young guy.
He signed up. He found a spot over there. He's making his way in the sport. But no,
good
job. He he gave a quote to Morocco that I couldn't believe. It was, they said that you know, money was a concern. What's $7 million to a $13 billion company? Like, $7 million is $7 million to any company. You know what I mean? Like, bro, like, I just couldn't believe he said that on record. Like, yeah, it was $7 million. Like, could we do better? Maybe we could do better. But you're a $13 billion company. Why are you worried if we can do better than $7 million? I was appalled by that quote. So you take that press release, and then you add in that quote. And I'm like, bro, you lost your way on this one, man.
He's grabbing at straws and lost his damn mind.
All right. So bottom line is, I'm glad to hear. I think you obviously always have a healthy bit of skepticism when it comes to the man.
It's just healthy skepticism.
It's a healthy skepticism, and I think that's fair. And I think from January 1, when this program rolls out, I think we all need to have a healthy bit of skepticism. Yeah. Let's monitor everything. Let's see how things are going. Let's ask the right questions.
I do like how they were taking the fighter feedback. That was another thing that they brought up, was like the fighter input, and that was even one of the questions I asked him, was like, are you guys going to actually talk to the fighters? Are you going to take their input, since they're the ones bearing the brunt of all this crazy shit when it came to like the shitty timing to have to report themselves? And I thought Jeff's answer was great. And, you know, he's like, I do nothing but field, you know, input from these fighters, and half the stuff that they're implementing, they're hoping to implement, is the input from the fighters. So if there's anything that's a good thing about that, is that fighters and the ones that I've talked to after that point was like, if you have reservations, you have questions, they seem to be very open to the fact of, hey, what do you guys want to be in this program? Obviously, you know, they can't take everything because they have to have a sort of strict regiment, and there has to be certain things that they can control. I mean, the fighter's not going to have their cake and eat it too, but if you want to have some feedback, like there's no
only one. Test us on Mondays?
Yeah. And even just like, you know, I thought the funniest thing was like, why 6 a.m.? Why not just like business hours? So just say roughly 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. You think if they're dirty at 6 a.m., they're not going to be dirty at 9 a.m.?
So I do know the reason for that, and it is that microdosing is a concern. Or like, and I don't know if it's called microdosing when it's PEDs. Like, I think microdosing, I'm thinking about like weed or shrooms.
Yeah, that's what I was about.
So maybe it's not called microdosing. Okay, but what they do is, and I think, boy, if you ever want to get into it, man, sit down with Jeff Nowitzki, because he'll talk about like how intense the thing was around what was the kid, Lance Armstrong. That was part of what they did, is that they knew, because there was only these windows of time that they could test you at the Tour de France. And so what they would do is, like, as soon as that window was closed, they would give them just a little bit of a mini dose, if you will. Maybe not micro dose, a mini dose. Enough that would clear out before that testing window opened back up. So I know that's why in theory, that's the reason, so that they had that ability. But you're right. I like what you're saying is 100% right. Like, let's get the fighter feedback, so that's as manageable and useful of a program for them as it can be. I posed this question on the and a half episode, and now I'll pose it to the wider audience as well. But what I'm really interested in seeing is how they treat Conor McGregor, because let's be honest, it's clear that they're pissed about the Conor McGregor situation.
Oh, yeah, I remember.
I'm going to be real interested to see what USADA does, and if it's test the hell out of him and try to catch him, or don't test him at all and just be like, you know, when you part ways, be like, how can you even trust that that guy's clean, like he hasn't been tested? Now, I think that would be a stupid strategy because you're the one that didn't test him, but I'd be interested to see what they did. But did you see today, Conor said that he was tested twice within an hour of each other, and they wanted urine and blood in both samples. And if that was true, that he was tested twice within an hour of each other, then I think that's exactly what they're trying to do, is they're trying to catch him, because they're like, we tested you, and we bet as soon as we left, because you thought you were tested, if you were cheating, that's when you would cheat. You would administer a small little dose at that point because we just finished testing you, but then we come back in an hour later and we test you again. That's when we're going to try to catch you. So not that I'm saying that he's doing anything wrong, but you see what I'm saying?
What the hell are people taking that you would take a little microdose like –
You just take a little bit of enough to give your body the benefit of it, and listen, you can talk to again Jeff Nowitzki. I've had a chance to talk to him about this at length in time. It's amazing the level of scientific
application. Well, USADA hasn't updated their database yet as of October 12th, 6 days. I'm surprised. You know, honestly, like my response to your thing, well, that's funny to hear that they supposedly did test him twice. My thought was like, hey, if that's money that they're already sitting on, why spend it? Why even test like the fewest amount that you possibly
pocket
can
your money.
And pocket that money.
That's funny.
That's what I would do. Do the bare minimum.
The
knowing,
bare minimum.
Knowing that the money
like
is not going to keep coming.
Already. We only got a month and a half, 2 months left.
We owe you 10 tests. I'm not going to go out and do 30 tests and send people around and incur costs.
I'm going to do the bare minimum. I'm going to make sure I'm not in default.
Yep.
I'm going to test only guys that are in towns where I have people, where I don't have to send anybody to travel.
100%.
You know, because with Connor, and that was the thing, you know, again.
Because the budget might already be spent. You know, I mean, like, just like when we see sometimes, like, when we used to talk about the MMA junkie budget, you know, and when money would come in, we're like, oh, man, we had a great month on YouTube. We have great this. And they're like, well, that money that you're seeing right now, that's already spent for. We paid it forward with some other thing. So that money is going to pay for
what
already happened. So it could be the same sort of thing with the way you saw it. Like, if their travel budget, it's not like they were like, well, hey, we're waiting for that check to come, you know, and then we're going to send people. They might be already paying stuff out. And if they know that check's going to stop coming in, you know, like, I'd stop paying that shit forward, you know. But
that's pretty funny.
But I will tell you that according to the USADA site, it has not been updated for 6 days, and that's part of what Nowitzki and them said that they were going to change was the transparency and the frequency of the results. Like, I should be able to, if Connor did say that he was tested over the weekend, whether it be 3 days, 4 days, I better be seeing something on
like
here.
Almost-
like,
instantaneously.
I would say the next day.
24 hours.
The next day, 24 hours.
I think that'd be good.
24 to 48. I mean, there's no reason why not 48 hours. I mean, even the person that's going and testing, while they're not going to give the test results because it takes a while to process blood and the other shit, you should be able to say, hey, FYI, this test was administered. Somebody ticks box. Just tick a box. Record the fighter's name. Record the location. Record the time it was taken. If you don't even need to make that publicly aware, we just want to know when it took place. Like, even USADA, it breaks it down to the quarter.
Right.
What is a 4 month period?
Yeah.
3 month period? Like, that's not really telling me much. You know, you're just giving me a
book. Let me see what day.
Let me see. I want to know what day.
You know, and there was another one too where.
Because that comes in, because say they do piss hot closer to the fight week or closer afterwards. Then you start saying, well, sir, you tested them 3 weeks ago. And now they're pissing hot right now, like right the week before the test, something took place. Then I think it gets in a little bit, maybe when it comes to the commission, when they go into punishment and things of that sort, then they could really sort of break down and tell where accidents happen during the camp, how they possibly can happen, or if there's actually a direction of how the mistake took place. Like, if they're like, okay, well, you 3 months out, you're absolutely clean, but a month out, all of a sudden, you know, you had this bad test. Like, you didn't change your supplements out 1 month out.
Yep.
You did something else, you know, and I think that, because then that would probably go into, you know, maybe in the punishment phase. Not that we're trying to find a better way of punishment, but just more clear picture when it comes to this stuff, instead of all of a sudden, oh, well, you tested positive outside of, you know, the fight week or whatever, you know, just better understanding so we can, you know what's really going on.
The other one that I thought was interesting, the last one I'll make on this, I know it's an extended conversation, but I do think it's a big story. I mean, look, we're going to talk UFC 294, but you're getting preview shows everywhere. Everybody's breaking it down. I do think this is a big story. It's a story we're going to continue to follow. And that's one reason I did want to spend some time on it.
It's one of the biggest changes in the sport.
It is one of the biggest changes in the
of
sport.
This year.
And it will continue, it will continue to be so. As much as I'm excited about UFC 294 in Abu Dhabi, you know,
and it's not even like on January 1, it's going to be fully up and running.
No,
like, it's going to be a work in progress for some time, you know.
There's
going to be bumps and bruises in this thing for sure.
So the last one that I found really interesting was that, and Jeff Nowitzki said this in the press conference, that like he was trying to ask USADA what percentage of athletes were being tested for EPO, and they couldn't tell him.
Yeah.
What?
That's weird.
What?
You think that they would just bulk it all and like you just test everything? That just makes
me
sound like
EPO is the most expensive to test for.
I was going
to
say, it makes it sound like they're doing the cheapest test that they possibly could.
Yep. Ridiculous.
That's shady.
I'm telling you, man. I'm telling you. Ah.
Well, I mean, yeah, especially, I mean, but it makes you wonder, though. I mean, did they press them before the fact? And, like, and why all of a sudden was this a question he was asking constantly throughout the period? You know, through like the past year or so, like, you know, you would think if that was an issue, they would have been pushing on them over and over and over. Maybe they did. Maybe they were. Instead of just like, hey, right now we're pissed off and you just didn't have that answer and that was the final straw that broke the camel's back. or was this, you know, just looking for something right now? I'm trying to find something. If it's something that they were addressing for a long period and say, why aren't you testing our guys for EPO? And they constantly and constantly couldn't give them an answer. That would certainly make me want to not use them. And I can see, you could start to see out the rift. And that's when I was asking, when I asked Hunter, I was like, you know, you guys have been talking about certain things. And I thought at one point they said 5 months, 6 months. When I asked him, you know, so when did you finally make the decision that you need to step away? And he said it was a year ago. So, I mean, like, and this is after they've been dealing with for quite a while. So, I mean, that's pretty impressive, you know. And one, it was good to hear them say that because we were all thought that this was sort of reactionary to Conor McGregor, whereas this seems, when the more you start to hear about the ideas and the reasons why they were looking to make a change, when you hear that they've been dealing with these problems and they've been looking as far as a year ago to actually start making some change, then it's like, okay, this really doesn't have anything to do with Conor at all.
That's it, man. They just framed it that way.
They just framed it that way.
All right, let's talk about UFC 294. Obviously, the changes have been well documented. I think, honestly, there's no way – I don't think there's any way you could see the changes in the main and co-main and be like, I'm less interested. I would say either you're either – the same level of interest, or you're perhaps even more interested than you were in the original matchups, I would think. I mean, the UFC did a hell of a job, and all
they
those
did a really
athletes,
good job with the main coming,
and all those athletes did a hell of a job too, stepping up and
I'm sure they got no extra money because, as Dana would say, they already have contracts.
They already have contracts. Yeah, I'd say yeah. You know,
they just did it out of the goodness of their heart. They were like, we're going to save that card for you because I already have a contract that I'm happy with.
I've seen all the memes of Alexander Volkanovski walking around with his balls in a wheelbarrow, and he deserves those. But there was another wheelbarrow right beside it where he's like, these are for my balls right here.
It's for my money.
To put my money over here. You fill this one up over here, and I'll fill this
one
up over
here.
Did
you see the South Park one?
Y'all, the best. That's what I'm saying, the best. But he deserves all the credit in the world. And Islam deserves all the credit, too, for saying, hey, man.
This is certainly not just a one-sided direction when it came to, like, stepping up. Like, Islam, this is a tougher fight. Like, Oliveira, no qualms about it. Like, that was a tough fight. This is a tougher fight.
Barely got through it last time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
A
so
fight.
Respect to all of them.
Yeah.
Listen, I know everybody's kind of got – I think everybody's got the same thing, especially when it's a fight that we just saw recently. We know how competitive it was. A lot of people believe that that Volkanovski won the first time around. I scored it for Islam, but it was a very,
very
close
fight.
Very, very close. Now you add it. We know what the variables are here. This time it's not in Australia. This time it's in Abu Dhabi. So it's Volkanovski that has to do the traveling. Although the travel's not terrible. It's closer to that part of the world than it is to the United States. He's stepping in there on short notice, of course. He is recovering from surgeries, but from all accounts, he was in the gym, he was training, he was working out. He's been hell-bent on getting this rematch, so he's been thinking about, you know, everything. And he's been game planning, and he's been all this. I love, by the way, did you see the embedded with Craig Jones? And he's just straight trolling. For the lower third, when they identified him, it was Alexander Volkanovski's sambo instructor. I thought that was great.
That's awesome.
He's a straight troll, man. I love that guy. So all those things, I mean, all those variables are. But I will say, so that's why I think some people might be concerned that they're not going to get the fight they wanted to see, because that's the only negative I could see that I've had some people kind of voice to me. They're like, man, I wanted Volkanovski to have this rematch, but – man, on short notice, like, is he really going to be ready? And if he loses this fight, there's no way he's getting a third. And that may be true that he wouldn't get a third, but he was also the guy that was willing to give a third to Max Holloway. So maybe he would get a third if need be, especially given these circumstances. But I wouldn't count on it. Generally, if you're 0-2, you don't get number three. But I will say, if there's ever a guy that you could count on to be on short notice, to be ready, to be prepared, to be physically set, mentally set, and – there's always that thing to be said, you know, the Michael Bisping title win, stepping in, and he'll be the first to tell you, there's something to be said for just stepping in and not having a care in the world, not going through the pressure of 2 months of training camp, not going through all the pre-fight media, and all just being like, let's go fight. So I think we get a great fight. I still lean Islam slightly, just like I did the first time around.
Yep.
But I think we're getting a great fight.
Yeah, I do as well. I lean towards him, but I mean, like, there's a lot more of our staff that are actually picking Volkanovski, and I completely see why they're doing it. I mean, he's going to come in here. He felt like he gave too much respect. He was a little too slow to get off the gun because he was showing too much respect.
Mm-hmm.
And I think having that experience and plus coming in on short notice. I think he feels that he doesn't have as much to lose in this case.
Right.
I think most people are expecting, like, well, you lost the first one. You're coming short notice. You almost have that built-in excuse. But I feel like he's not allowing himself that. But so he's not feeling that pressure of, like, this long buildup that would have maybe happened if he did have, like, a full camp. But I think he also sees that he understands he's felt his power. He knows what not to do, and he needs to just—he just wants to swarm him. I think he wants to press him, and he wants to get him out, and he wants to do it quick because I think that's when he feels like he has the best chances of doing it. So I'm looking forward to that. The first couple rounds, I think, are going to be absolute gangbusters. Should be incredible. I mean, he's a strong, tough dude. He took—you know what's funny? Because when I remember the first fight, I thought Alexander had the better of this, like the more numbers of striking and. Just a more dominating striking. But when you look at the numbers, maybe it was when they're clinch, they're pretty even. And in some aspects, Islam had like more significant strikes. I could be wrong on the numbers, but I thought when I quickly looked at it. So then I was like, okay, maybe I remembered it a little bit wrong. You know, maybe part of me was wanting Alexander to do better because it was that big step up. But ultimately, when I looked at some of those numbers and other things, that's what made me think that Islam – maybe he did better in that first fight than I thought. So I was going to – I'm going to put it that I think he's going to take that in, and he understands what Alexander's going to bring. He knows what Alexander's going to do this time because he felt the reserved, more in control of himself Alex last time. And I think he knows that he's going to get an Alex that's going to be coming out hunting for his head early on. So I think he's going to try to address that quickly and try to shut that down and obviously try to do the same thing like he did last time, which he controlled an immense amount of time. In control last time, and I think that's what kind of gave him the edge. So I have no reason to think that the game plan is going to change in that sense. I do like this fight better than Oliveira. I like the Oliveira fight. I thought that was great. I like this fight better.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sad to –
no disrespect to Oliveira.
No disrespect. I just like this fight. I love Volkanovski's mindset going into things. I just think he's just got a great personality. I like that fight a lot. I thought it was a more challenging fight than what Oliveira is going to be able to bring. So I'm not opposed to that. The co-main, as much as I like the fact that Kamaru was stepping in there, I think I maybe was a little bit more interested to see how Paulo Costa was going to do against Khamzat than Kamaru.
Really?
Yeah. Because I wanted to see if he was actually – because he felt like that was the fight that maybe he would show up.
Man.
He didn't show up against Izzy. He didn't show up in some of these other ones. But I love Kamaru. I think this is going to be a better aspect of a guy that's a full-on wrestler going against a guy that's been able to sort of just overpower guys.
That's
so
funny.
So I get that, you know. But in terms of – I just wanted to see what – I wanted to see if Costa was going to be able to step up to the plate because he was like the first guy. He was willing. He was like, I'll take that fight. I want that fight. Kamaru's like, I want that bag. You know, like this is not like Kamaru's been calling out Khamzat and wanting to get in that fight. He wanted to do it if there was money involved. And so, I mean, I just feel like the two guys were in there for two different things. Like Paulo, I think, was trying to establish himself as one of the best in the division. I think Kamaru was just like, I want to beat this guy and get some money and save
it. I mean, he's thinking title shot for sure.
Yeah, but the Kamaru that's fighting now is different than the Kamaru that was the champ.
Well, he's got a blown out knee.
Yeah, and he lost to the champ multiple
no,
times.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
The workout.
Oh, yeah. Did you guys see the way that he slammed Justin and his knee popped supposedly?
By the way, and I'm actually watching it right now. It's funny because I understand viral, whatever, that's great. But he got up and did several minutes of striking after that as well.
100%.
And I like how, I mean, certainly nobody went out of their way to point that out.
It's ridiculous. Like me, when I looked at it, I was like, okay, they obviously fell to the ground too hard. I thought he maybe thought that he hit his head. And Gage was just checking in, like, good, you good? You know, like, you know, whatever. Like, I didn't hear any, I didn't see any whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
People are like, did you look at Justin, the concern on his face? And it's like, that's just two bros that are, like, they're just, like, that's a training buddy shit. Like, he's just like, bro, you good?
That would be some Oscar-worthy acting if he went down like that and his knee went out and he just went like, yeah, I'm going to jump over here now.
Yeah. Now I'm going to actually strike a little.
Yeah.
I'm just going to strike. Because then you would have seen it when he was moving on that. So it's just ridiculous. But that being said, it's not like I'm not upset about the fight. I still think it's a great fight. I mean, I think it's going to be interesting. But, I mean, it could be a whole lot of just, you know, guys trying to control. Like, if they're not taking the time to separate, to strike, which I think – the Costa fight would have been – Paulo would have been more adept to trying to separate and strike. I think Kamaru wants to get in there and clinch. And it's just going to be a battle of who's got a better clinch and who's going to be able to get the other guy to the ground and dominate for control time. So that could either be fun, like especially if you like grappling and you like the wrestling sort of thing. But I just felt like that the cost of fight might have been more fireworks. But
it's interesting.
Both these guys like to fire as well. It's not like Kamaru, you know, doesn't throw hands and, you know, Hamzat doesn't throw hands. But I don't know. I'm still excited for it. I think it's going to – I think the 1-2 punch is both pretty good in the sense of the main event and the co-main event. But I don't know. Not that it's a letdown, but yeah, I don't know. I liked that fight. Maybe I was in the minority of that fight, but I thought the fight was a good fight.
It's funny because I don't know if you're aware of this, but I have another podcast that I take part in as well. I don't know if I've been able to hide that from you, but Eric McMahon said the same thing. He was actually more excited for Paulo Costa. And my point was
he sounds like a smart individual.
my point was that Paulo Costa has had all those questionable performances, and because of it, I just felt like if Hamzat were to pick up an impressive victory, you would just be like, yeah, but look at what Costa's been doing lately. But yeah. I guess you could just as easily say, yeah, but look at the results Usman's had lately.
Paul's a big dude.
Yeah,
like,
he is.
Hamzat's huge.
He is.
He's going to make Kamaru look small, I think, when they get in there opposite. Like, Kamaru's jacked, but, like, Hamzat, he's just got that weird, like, bigness. Like, but when it comes to fight night, he's huge.
Yeah.
Paulo fight night is huge. He's a big boy. I just wanted to see that big size. And like,
it's a good point.
I wanted to see if somebody's going to sort of manhandle Hamzat a little bit. You know, I just feel like Hamzat's going to go in there as the bigger guy. And who knows? I mean, I still think it's going to be a good fight. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I just saw it as a fight that Paulo needed, that it had the potential for him to step up and show us that fighter that we know is in there that doesn't always present itself.
It's a good point.
Like having a guy like this that he knows has the hype about him. But Kamaru could use the hype as well. I mean, like, this would be a big, big win for him. But I could also see where somebody else is just like, well, you were the champ. You know, this is him trying to get up to that point, you know, and then you just shot him down. It definitely favors more like who wins. Like, if Hamzat win, the win over Kamaru is going to seem a lot better than a win for Kamaru over Hamzat, except for the fact that I think he's just going to be stealing the hype and he's going to shut the hype train. It does push him more into that title thing, but who wants to see that title fight?
Right.
I certainly don't.
Yep.
I'd rather watch Islam and Alexander fight like 4 or 5 times. Because that fight was fun.
That was great.
that fight was really good. And I do like, I think if he did lose this one, I'm not opposed to the fact there being a third one. It just can't be one of those immediate sort of things. And then it's kind of weird because Alex needs to go back to his division defending.
Yeah.
It's not like you could just wait and then jump back up unless it has multiple fights and Islam gets through the next challengers.
At that point, you probably do Islam and Charles for an interim title.
Yeah.
And let Alex go face Topuria for his featherweight belt and then decide what to do from there.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, and then Alex seemed to make it think that Islam doesn't want to stay at that weight for long.
That he wants to go up to 70.
That he wants to go up.
He has big weight cuts.
Yeah.
Man.
I mean, and that was part of the reason why I think he wanted to get that fight now, because if he goes up, that fight's not going to happen for quite some time. Like,
it's interesting.
While Alex used to be a big, big boy, he's never going to go back. He's never going to fight 170 in the UFC.
No. No, no.
Never.
No, that would be bad. Ankalaev and Walker is just going completely overlooked. That's a big one at light heavyweight. Has some real impact there. Irkan Malaskarov, a lot of people are high on. I'm high on. He looks like the real deal. Didn't get the matchup he was supposed to have. Has Warley Alves, who's credit to Warley, man. That dude will fight anybody. Lost a little bit of steam there. Saeed Nurmagomedov and Muin Gafarov. Could be a very, very fun fight. Obviously, nobody's talking about that one either, but that could be a good fight. Tim Elliott, Mohamed Makhachev has been funny to see their little back and forth. They're both
that's gonna be a banger.
That's gonna be a hell of a fight, and they're doing a little bit of trash talk. It was really, I saw one the other
somebody's
day.
Somebody's gonna get slapped on that fight.
They've been having some healthy little trash talk.
Yeah.
There was funny. I saw a little exchange on Twitter the other day. Whenever they were checking into the hotel, that like, because over there in Abu Dhabi, you know, they make those little like gift trays or whatever for like chocolates, and like there's a chocolate octagon and stuff like that. And Makhachev was like, text like he tweeted at Tim Elliott. He's like, "Did you put this in my room so I'd miss weight?" And Elliott was like, "They put that in everybody's room, you ding dong." And I was like, "Who's this ding dong, dude?" Like, it was just like, that's so Tim Elliott, dude. Like, who says ding dong? But it's pretty funny.
I mean, it's certainly a more PC way instead of saying dickhead. Right?
you ding dong.
And it is chocolate, like the cake was.
It is chocolate too. Good point. Good point. So overall, I think it's going to be some good matchup. It's a special start time. I'm sure most of you that are listening to this know that by now. But just a reminder, don't try to tune in on Saturday night because it will already have
already
happened.
Done.
All right, well, listen, going to continue this frosty beverage consumption perhaps on this lovely afternoon.
I'll maybe take another one. I'll probably have another one. You know, got to get in the gym later on.
Yeah, all the staff wants us to clear out some of that space in there. Your beverage director was telling me he's a little bit overstaffed in there, a little bit overstocked, I should say. Needs a little bit of space there to work with.
I should send you some. Just take some of these home.
My wife. By the way, if anybody wants to reach out to me, I just got a text from my wife that says, Eli has been begging me nonstop for a hamster. I finally got tired of saying no and told him it's up to your dad. So now it's your turn to say no.
Yeah.
I definitely don't want a hamster. Yeah. So if anybody has
I had a hamster when I was a kid.
If anybody has experience of talking a child out of a hamster and you know how you were able to talk them out of it.
Just say no.
Send me a DM.
So you got two kids.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to say no.
You got two dogs. You play this sport.
Yeah, what are you going to do with a hamster?
Yeah. Play the guitar. You don't play with
a
hamster.
He plays the guitar, too.
Yeah, I was going to say, play your music. You don't need a hamster.
That's it. All right. That's it.
Tell them they have a they tend to die young. Like, the hamsters are hard to play.
Actually, I Googled reasons not to get a pet hamster, and one of the there's a website called pethelpful.com that has reasons not to pet a hamster, and one of them says that they have a really short lifespan.
Yeah,
I had one
when I was a kid, and I was heartbroken when he died. Don't get a hamster, Pookie. I still remember Pookie.
Pookie
was his name. He's a little brown and white hamster.
I used to try
to pick him up, and he'd try to poop in your hand.
That's funny.
He was cute, but yeah, he died. He died early. Oh, poor Pookie.
Poor Pookie. This one's for you, Pookie. I'm gonna drink a beer for you. All right, listen. Appreciate everybody that supports us. Obviously, check out the MMAroadshow.com. You'll see some changes to the website. If you're not subscribed to the YouTube page, make sure you subscribe there. A lot of my interviews right there, really all of my interviews at this point, are taking place at the MMA Roadshow YouTube page or on the MMAroadshow.com. Of course, if you want to take your support to this podcast to the next level, you can hit us up at patreon.com/TheMMARoadshow, where you have exclusive access to the and a half episodes.
We'll
certainly have one.
We're going to get those nudies on there for the $10 club.
Certainly we'll have an and a half show this Saturday afternoon. It'll have an early last week I was not able to get to it to the next day. I was worn out when I got through. I did CFFC on Friday night, flew in, went to the Apex. I was exhausted. But anyway, appreciate everybody's support. Even if you can just take the time to rate, review us, all those things, leave feedback wherever you listen to podcasts, that would help us out. But anything, enjoy your weekend. Enjoy the weather. It's that nice fall time of the year. And more than anything,
indeed.
Thanks for listening. Ha ha ha!